Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
And welcome back to Project Independence and You. I am Rebecca Miller, your guest host for today's show. We've been talking with Greg Balbara from Right at Home. Before we went to break, Otto, I know you had a point. We were talking about medication management. So important to keep that cheat sheet. Every change in medication, everybody should just have a list and, you know, keep it on them or keep it handy. Just make sure it's as much up to date as you can. So when you do go to a doctor or a provider, or if an emergency happens, that you have that that up-to-date information with you. So point well taken, Otto. One of the things we were talking about over break was, I want to say caregiver syndrome, but so many people, Greg, too, we talk a lot about this with Project Independence there, you know, the spouse of somebody who may have dementia, ALS, whatever the spouse is having, and they don't even identify themselves as a caregiver. They're like, I'm not a caregiver. It's my husband. It's my wife. It's my child. It's whatever it is. I'm doing what I'm doing. So, you know, and after a while, certainly taking care of somebody with so many issues has an impact on that caregiver. And, you know, so we were talking a little bit about what Right at Home does for those caregivers, and curious to your take on people who are caregivers but don't even identify themselves as caregivers, and you have to say, no, you're a caregiver.
Sure, that's part of the education process for sure. As you said, a lot of times spouses just think, you know, for better or worse, this is you know, I've loved this person for 50 years, I'm going to do it, but they have to realize that, you know, self-care is as important as the care they're providing for their loved one, because if they don't take care of themselves, they may not be around for much longer to provide the care that their loved one needs. So it's very, very important that, family caregivers, you know, get what we call respite, and that's a break. And, you know, again, every situation is different. Person A may need, you know, an hour a week break to just kind of do whatever. And some people need multiple hours a day. Every situation is different. Every case is different. But it's super important, because caregiving around the clock, as I said, is, you know, emotionally, physically, mentally challenging. And if and studies have shown that the stress of family caregiving can be so, so high that oftentimes the healthy caregiver ends up passing away before the sick person, because of that stress. And then that creates a whole other dynamic, because now that person's passed away, who's going to take care of the remaining sick person?
Right. So another kind of avenue that's, you know, totally related, and wanted to get your kind of input on that, is, you know, mental health on, you know, versus physical health, and does it have an impact on physical health, and does one have an impact on the other?
There's no question that that flows both ways. Being physically sick will obviously affect your outlook and how you see things, and and can certainly lead to depression, can lead to isolation. So it's important that that the person who is physically sick is getting the appropriate care. Not just for the, you know, for the physical ailment, but for the possible, you know, mental, outcomes of that. And then, you know, vice versa, someone who is, let's say, providing care and is becoming very stressed and becoming mentally sick can start to exhibit, physical. Think of an ulcer, someone who is stressed out, all of a sudden, you know, they get an ulcer. Right. They're not getting the proper sleep because they're so stressed out. They're afraid that, you know, their loved one may get up in the middle of the night and, they're a safety fall risk. So they're not really getting their sleep because they're kind of sleeping with one eye open, and they're thinking to themselves, okay, is my husband, is my dad going to fall out of, you know, get out of bed and, you know, take two steps and hit the floor. So they're not getting the sleep. So they're going to have issues. So that's a perfect place where, like, Right at Home works, where, you know, we work, with clients all the time. When the loved one needs that respite break, we can provide that, whether it's daytime, whether it's nighttime, sometimes for us to be there 8 or 12 hours, you know, for an overnight shift, so that, you can get, so that that person can get their sleep, so that during the day they can take care, you know, give the proper right. loving care that they need to their loved one. It can make a huge difference. And then sometimes it's, we need to provide the care during the day as opposed to the care during the night. So again, every situation is completely different, but definitely super important that, you know, family caregivers are getting, you know, getting the rest. And then also, especially with now with COVID, sometimes because the family can't be there, our aides and our companions can kind of act as those family members. They can coordinate activities. They're preparing the meals. Maybe they're taking the person to the doctor or to physical therapy, or if the physical therapy is coming in home now because they're not going out, kind of, you know, coordinating all those activities, giving all that information to the family members. So getting everybody on the same page, everyone's aware of what's going on, can play a big role in the health and recovery of the patient, as well as, you know, the family, you know, caregivers.
You talk health issues, and maybe two weeks ago, we had somebody on about macular degeneration. And I knew it was not a good thing to have, but I never realized the real impact that has on a person's mental health.
Sure.
You know, there's so many things that you can't do when you have that.
Yeah. Starting with driving, right? Once your macular degeneration really kind of advances, and either your health professional, your eye doctor, or the family basically says, you know, mom or dad, we have to take away the keys. Your eyesight has become so limited to macular degeneration. Taking away the keys is one of the hardest things that we see, you know, on a daily basis, because that is pretty much, you know, the first sign that the person's going to lose some independence. You know, having the keys, being able to go wherever you want, whenever you want, that feeling of independence, that leads to a healthy mental outlook. So the second you take that away, you know, you're risking that you know, mental outlook can be extremely negatively impacted. So, you know, again, having like an aide or a companion, someone who can drive you a couple of times a week to the supermarket, to the library, wherever it is that you need to go, so that you don't feel that you're stranded in the house and that you're isolated, very important.
Right, you know, this might be a good segue into one of the bullets that you provided us in terms of what if someone resists seeking help? Like, you know, we come across daily, like you said, people have to give up their keys and they're extremely resistant and in, you know, some forms of denial. But what about the whole big picture when someone just resists seeking help?
Sure. And we get that, you know, that's a common question that we get all the time when we're speaking to our clients and their family members. So one of the things I think one of the things that we always try and convey is that one is we're not here to take away your independence. We want to promote as much independence as possible. So the things that you're capable of doing that you still enjoy doing, we want you to do that each and every day as much as possible. The things that you are now challenged a little bit with, whatever that might be, that's where we're here to help you. So the aide, the companion, if that's meal preparation, if you have macular degeneration and you need assistance with meal preparation, or as I said, you know, driving someone to a doctor's appointment or to the supermarket, the pharmacy, you know, those little things that we can kind of keep your life going, keep your independence going, so you can do the things that you like. So that your family isn't saying, okay, maybe now we need to consider other options for you as opposed to living at home when you really want to live at home. That's where we make a tremendous difference, right at home.
It goes back to that custom care plan, really. What are the needs of the situation?
Yep.
And I can imagine.
And the custom care plan changes. You know, the custom care plan, we have clients that we've had for, you know, 7-8 years. So obviously the custom care plan that we developed in 2013 or 2014, that changes in 2016, 2018, 2020, 2021. So we're constantly evolving and changing the care plan to suit the, you know, ever-changing needs of the client.
You know, we don't have a lot of time left, and because this topic is mental health, you know, what if someone is talking suicide on any level? What as a caregiver or family member, what should we do?
That's something that absolutely has to be taken 100% serious. You know, there's no question. I would definitely say the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is always available at 800-273-8255. You can talk to a trained counselor day or night, 24 hours a day is a super resource that everyone should avail themselves with. not just the person who maybe is having those thoughts, but a family member who thinks that their, you know, that their loved one is considering that. In that situation also, I think you want to really, you know, be aware of what's going on, you know, with your loved one in the house. I mean, has that person bought a gun? They never had a gun their whole life. Are you noticing that they're stockpiling pills that they never did before? Are they giving away possessions, almost like they're getting ready to say goodbye? You know, those are kinds of warning signs that people need to be aware of. And if they are, you want to have either that, you know, a conversation with your loved one, or, you know, bring in a trained professional who can, you know, help deal with that situation, because it can definitely be averted. Suicide rates actually is highest. Older adults have the highest rates of suicide of any age group in the United States. I think sometimes people are surprised when they hear that, but it's factual.
Right. Well, I mean, certainly you've provided a lot of really good information, and, you know, I don't want it to just sound so horrible, because what the services that you provide are really helping the senior age in place, live longer, be safer. You know, I really like what your organization is doing for people. And, you know, and I like how you said, you know, how do you talk to someone who's resisting? And you're saying, you know, we're trying to continue with the things that you love, just in a different manner, you know? So I think it's good that you kind of present it in a positive way, and not, you know, hey, you listen, you know, your eyes are going, you're this, you can't drive anymore. So, you know, it's kind of important to present things like in a positive manner. And find so that positivity.
A positive approach goes a long way each and every day.
That's so true. So
these are not easy topics, of course. There's no, you know, everybody's different. Everybody will. I have no idea how I would handle it. I think because I've been through enough of this that I would. I'm going with what Greg said. Sometimes, in order to maintain some degree of independence, you have to give up some independence. And that's hard to, where's that balance? If one of the things is you're liable to go out and kill somebody in the car when you shouldn't be driving, that's something you really have to give up, in my opinion.
It's like, Otto, we have, you know, we did the show on mindfulness, and it's kind of like you have to at some point just accept your limitations. And limitations aren't a bad thing. You know, they protect you. They make us safer, like even a speed limit or something like that. You know, they're there to really keep us safe. So understanding what they are as we get older. I mean, I'm a yoga teacher, you know, but I'm not teaching like I used to. I'm staying within, you know, I want to say my limits, but the things where I don't want to hurt myself. I want to understand, you know, where my body's at, where the things that I can do now and teach now. So, and we are now coming to the end of this hour. Greg, thank you so much for coming back on the show. I'm sure you'll be back again.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we will be back with Project Independence and You, Senior Talk Radio at WCWE.org.